Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Welcome back to the deep dive, where we like really get into the weeds on stuff you send us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And today, we're looking at the relationship between systems engineers and software engineers.
Yeah, fascinating topic.
It really is. And you sent us this paper actually called Systems Engineers Are From Mars, Software Engineers Are From Venus.
Right.
And it was presented at a conference back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of curious to see if it still holds up today, you know, over 20 years later.
Yeah, it's interesting how much of it does still resonate.
It really does.
You know, the paper starts off by sort of laying out this problem.
Yeah.
That in the late 20th century, complex software projects were just failing.
Yeah.
at a pretty alarming rate.
Well, and it's funny because it's like they weren't necessarily more complex,
right,
than huge engineering projects of the past, right? I mean,
yeah.
Think about the pyramids.
Pyramids, railroads.
Roads.
Massive military operations. Yeah. I mean, these were incredibly complex endeavors.
They succeeded.
They did. So it's like, what was the problem?
Yeah, it's a real paradox. And the authors point that out to show that complexity itself wasn't necessarily the issue.
Right.
And they point to all these different, you know, attempted solutions at the time, you mm-hmm. know, case tools, the capability maturity model,
yeah.
all these things people were trying.
I can make it work.
But ultimately, what they argue is that a core problem was communication.
And that's where the whole Mars and Venus thing comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they can't talk to each other.
Right.
It's like they're speaking totally different languages.
Yeah. And they basically create this Rosetta Stone in this paper.
Yeah.
To try to decode, you know, why these two engineering tribes, as they call them,
yeah.
just couldn't seem to understand each other.
And it's so funny they use that word tribe. Like, they're really coming at it from...
Yeah, they're very distinct.
Totally different places.
Cultures, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so what is it like? What's at the heart of this? Why can't they get along?
Well, one of the core ideas they present is this concept of reuse versus reinvent.
Okay.
You know, engineers in any field are constantly faced with this choice, right?
Yeah.
Do we use existing solutions
yeah.
or do we try to build something new?
Right, yeah.
And what's interesting is they observed, you know, that engineers, especially software engineers,
yeah.
would often be reinventing the wheel,
yeah.
you know, coming up with a new solution when something perfectly adequate already existed.
I think we've all been there, right?
I think we all have, yeah.
Sometimes you just want to create something new.
It's tempting. It's tempting.
It is, even when you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
But so how does that tie into this whole communication breakdown?
Well, it kind of boils down to a number of factors. You know, an engineer's training and background, the language they use, the roles they play in a project, even how they conceptualize fundamental engineering concepts.
Okay.
And all of these things often differ pretty significantly between systems engineers and software engineers.
So let's break down those barriers a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's start with their training and backgrounds.
Yeah.
What are the differences in how they're educated?
So, you know, I think it's helpful to think of it this way. A lot of systems engineers, they come from like a hardware engineering background.
Okay.
They're used to the physical world, right?
Yeah.
They work with blueprints, tangible components, things they can actually touch and manipulate.
Right.
Software engineers, on the other hand, they live in this much more abstract world
yeah.
of code and algorithms and data structures.
Yeah.
They're constantly iterating, you know, working with things that exist in the digital realm.
Right. So very different mindsets going in.
Totally different.
Yeah. Right from the start.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that the paper actually kind of calls out software engineering education.
Yeah.
For often missing the mark on teaching like core systems engineering concepts.
Interesting.
So you have these two groups coming together with fundamentally different ways of thinking about a problem, approaching a problem.
Right. And I imagine that probably feeds into the stereotypes and the biases.
Oh, absolutely.
They have about each other. Right?
Yeah, there's definitely some of that.
Yeah.
The paper actually quotes one systems engineer as saying something like, "This is something my high school kid could program in a week."
Ouch.
Right.
Yeah.
Clearly there's this like lack of understanding and respect.
Yeah, you can just feel the tension.
Yeah.
Right there in that quote.
Totally. Yeah.
So it's not just different skills, different training, but it's also this perception.
This perception
yeah.
of competence.
Partner with each other.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of these biases actually stem from past experiences.
Okay.
So You know, a systems engineer might have worked with software engineers in the past who, you know, were maybe more inclined to modify existing components instead of adapting them.
Right.
Which, from a systems engineering perspective, would be considered, you know, poor practice. Mm-hmm. But, you know, software engineering has evolved a lot since then.
Right. So it's kind of like they're stuck in the past.
In some ways, yeah.
Yeah.
And those perceptions might not actually reflect the current reality.
It's funny because you think about all these communication issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, they're using completely different language.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's not even just technical jargon.
Right.
The paper gives this great example of this US-UK contract negotiation.
Oh, yeah.
That just went completely off the rails because of one simple word.
Yeah, the tabling issue.
Yes.
Tabling is a classic example.
Can you remind us what happened?
Yeah, so you had this American company.
Okay.
And this British company in the middle of this negotiation.
Okay.
And everything's going smoothly. Until at one point, someone suggested tabling a particular issue.
Right.
And both sides agreed.
Yeah.
But then everything just fell apart.
Yeah, wait. How can tabling an issue cause such a major conflict?
Well, because in American English, to table something means to put it up for immediate discussion.
Okay.
But in British English, it means the exact opposite.
Ah.
Okay. It means to set it aside for later.
Oh, I see. So they both thought they were on the same page, but they were
totally different pages.
Going in opposite directions.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, wow.
And it just goes to show how even these subtle language differences
can
create huge problems.
Especially, I imagine, when you're talking about something as abstract as software development.
Absolutely.
And the paper also talks about the word component.
Right.
Which also, I think, highlights this
difference in worldview.
Yeah. So for a systems engineer, what's a component?
A component's something physical.
Okay.
Like a circuit board, a piece of hardware.
Right.
But for a software engineer, a component might be a block of code, an algorithm.
So totally different things.
Totally different things.
They're using the same word, but they're thinking of totally different things.
Exactly.
That seems like a recipe for disaster.
It can be, yeah.
Wow, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
But before we get into the impact of all of this,
mm-hmm.
what's like jumped out at you so far?
I think it just how, you know, fundamental these differences are. I mean, it's not just that they're using different words.
Yeah.
It's that they're conceptualizing the world in very different ways.
It really is like they're from different planets.
It is.
Yeah, it really does feel like they're speaking different languages.
It really does.
But okay, so let's move on to the next barrier.
Okay.
That they talk about in the paper.
Okay.
And that's the roles.
Right.
The conflicting roles of systems and software engineers.
Yeah. So traditionally, the systems engineer has been seen as this, like, big picture person.
Yeah.
You know, they define the overall system requirements.
Yeah.
Figure out how all the pieces fit together.
Right.
But, you know, in our increasingly software-driven world, those lines have gotten really blurry.
Yeah, and I can see how that would cause some tension, right?
Absolutely.
Especially when you think about all the bias were just talking about.
Software engineers are often taking on tasks that, you know, traditionally would have been handled by systems engineers.
Right.
Especially when it comes to defining requirements.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Let's back up for a second.
Okay.
When you say requirements,
yeah,
we're not just talking about like any old to-do list.
Right.
What exactly do you mean by that?
So it's crucial to sort of distinguish between what are called functional requirements and non-functional requirements.
Yeah.
So functional requirements are all about what the system needs to DO.
Okay.
You know, what are its core functions? What tasks does it need to perform?
So that's the what.
That's the what.
Of the system.
Of the system, yeah.
But then there's the how. Right.
Exactly. That's where non-functional requirements come in.
Okay.
These deal with things like performance, security, usability.
Yeah.
How efficiently does the system need to operate?
Yeah.
How secure does it need to be against potential threats?
Okay.
How user-friendly does the interface need to be?
You know, I can see how those non-functional requirements would be especially important in a software-heavy system.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you could have a system that, like, technically,
right,
it can do all the things it needs to do.
Right.
But if it's, like, slow or buggy.
It's unusable.
Or impossible to use.
Yeah.
It's not going to be very successful.
It's not going to succeed, no.
Yeah.
And this is often where you see a disconnect. between the systems engineers and the software engineers.
Okay.
You know, systems engineers focused on those functional requirements.
Right.
Might think, okay, we've fully defined the system.
Right.
But the software engineers might be thinking, wait a minute. What happens when there's a sudden spike in user traffic?
Right.
What if someone tries to hack into the system?
Or just like all the edge cases.
All those edge cases, exactly.
All the things that could go wrong that you don't necessarily think about when you're just thinking about the system in the abstract.
Yeah, you're thinking about the ideal scenario, not necessarily all those what ifs.
Yeah. So you have this situation where a project might be moving forward with this set of requirements that seem complete, but actually don't account for.
Yeah, all the real world.
All the real world complexity.
The messiness of it.
The messiness, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. And then you get to the part where, you know, even when they are technically on the same page about the requirements, there's still this issue of how they interpret certain concepts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the paper talks about how even seemingly shared concepts can have very different meanings.
Totally different meaning.
For systems and software engineers.
Yeah, and one of the best examples, I think, is this idea of inheritance.
Okay, yeah, so explain that.
So systems engineers are very familiar with inheritance in the physical world.
Okay.
Right? You think about like how a new car model might inherit features from previous models.
Right.
Or how like a spacecraft might inherit certain design elements from its predecessors.
Okay.
You know, to withstand the rigors of space travel.
So they understand it in this very practical.
Yeah, very practical.
Tangible sense.
Yeah, tangible. Yeah.
But for software engineers, how's it different?
So for software engineers, inheritance is this core principle of object-oriented programming. It's a way to create new, what are called objects in software that inherit properties and behaviors from existing ones.
Okay.
It's an incredibly powerful tool for building complex software systems.
Right.
But it's a much more abstract concept than the physical inheritance that a systems engineer might be used to.
So you could have these two engineers both talking about inheritance.
Yeah.
But with completely different pictures in their mind.
Totally different pictures, yeah.
One's thinking about a physical object.
Right.
Inheriting traits.
Yeah.
The other is thinking about lines of code inheriting functionalities.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just different words. It's
different ways
of seeing the world.
That's different worldviews.
That's different worldviews, yeah, okay.
And the paper also talks about how they view blueprints differently.
Okay.
You know, a systems engineer might see a blueprint as this, like, literal physical drawing, whereas a software engineer might see it as this more abstract representation of the software structure.
Right.
And then there's, you know, models, objects, classes, the list goes on.
Yeah, so it's almost like they're speaking these different
dialects
of
engineering.
Of engineering, yeah.
Yeah.
But beyond just being a fascinating communication puzzle, why should we care about this? Like, what's the real world impact?
That's a great question.
Of this Mars and Venus divide.
It's a great question, and it's really at the heart of why this paper is still so relevant, even today.
Yeah.
You know, this communication gap, it's not just an engineering problem.
Okay.
It reflects a broader challenge in how we approach complex systems in any field.
So it's not just about...
It's not just about engineering.
Engineers talking to each other.
Right. I mean, think about healthcare, finance, government.
Yeah.
All these systems that rely heavily on both hardware and software. You need people with these different types of expertise
to work together.
To work together, yeah.
Right.
And the potential consequences of not addressing these communication gaps can be really significant.
Okay, give me an example.
So let's say you're developing a new medical device.
Yep.
You've got a team of systems engineers focused on the hardware, like the sensors and the actuators.
Right.
And then you've got a team of software engineers developing the algorithms that control the device.
Right.
Now, if they're not communicating effectively about the requirements,
Oh,
you could end up with a device that's technically functional.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not safe. Maybe it's not reliable.
Right.
Maybe the software doesn't properly account for all the potential failure modes of the hardware.
Right.
Or maybe the user interface is so confusing that medical professionals can't use it effectively.
And in a worst case scenario,
worst case scenario,
you know, this could lead to like patient harm.
Exactly.
Right? Wow. That's a sobering example.
It is. It is.
It really highlights the importance of getting this communication right.
Absolutely.
But it's also not just about, you know, avoiding the negative, right?
Right, right.
It's also about like unlocking the full potential.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of these complex systems.
When these two groups can truly understand each other and work together effectively, they can create some really innovative and groundbreaking solutions.
Absolutely. You know, it's the old...
The whole is greater.
Yeah, the whole is greater...
Than the sum of its parts.
Than the sum of its parts. But
only if those parts...
Only if those parts can work together.
Can work together, exactly.
Yeah, so... So this paper really does, while it focuses on systems and software engineers, it really applies to
any situation.
Any situation
where you have people with different background.
Different background.
Different perspectives who need to collaborate.
Healthcare, finance, technology, anything.
Anything, yeah.
It's really all about
recognizing those differences.
Recognizing those differences.
Being willing to communicate. Openly, respectfully.
And really like proactively looking for ways to bridge
those gaps.
Those gaps in understanding.
Exactly.
It's really about understanding each other's
worldviews.
Yeah. And that takes effort and empathy.
It does.
And a willingness to learn.
Absolutely.
From each other.
Speaking of learning, this paper doesn't just, you know, leave us with a problem.
Okay, good.
It offers some potential solutions or at least starting points.
I like it.
For bridging this divide, this interplanetary divide.
Okay, great. But before we get to that,
I'm
curious, thinking about your own work and the people you collaborate with.
Yeah.
What are some of the like blind spots that you've encountered?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, what are those moments where you're like,
yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're not actually speaking the same language.
Yeah.
Even though we're using the same words.
Right, right.
It really is. It's kind of amazing when you think about it.
It is.
How often that probably happens, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think you're on the same page.
Right.
And you're really not.
You're not even close.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
So let's get into the solutions.
Okay.
Where do we even begin?
So the first step, and probably the most important, is simply awareness.
Okay.
Both systems and software engineers need to recognize that these communication gaps exist and be willing to put in the effort to bridge them.
So it's like realizing you've been speaking different languages this whole time.
Exactly.
And then once you realize that, you can start to kind of adjust how you communicate.
Yeah, absolutely.
But awareness is only the first step.
Right.
What are some like practical things that they can do to actually bridge those gaps?
So the paper emphasizes the importance of active listening and seeking clarification.
Okay.
You know, it sounds simple.
Yeah.
But instead of just assuming that you understand what someone means, ask questions. Rephrase things in your own words.
Okay.
Make sure you're both truly on the same page.
Right.
It might feel a little tedious at first,
yeah.
but it can save a lot of headaches and misunderstandings down the road.
It's almost like if you were traveling to a new country
where
you don't speak the language.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to pay attention.
I have to be very deliberate.
To make sure you're understanding
what
people are saying.
Right. And it's not just about understanding the words themselves. It's about understanding the concepts and the perspectives behind them.
The worldview.
The worldviews, exactly. Yeah. And so the paper suggests actually creating like a shared glossary.
Ooh, like this, yeah.
Of terms and concepts.
Okay.
Where each side explicitly defines how they're using certain words and ideas.
So kind of like a Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, exactly.
For systems and software engineers.
Right. And this glossary wouldn't be like a static document. It would need to be this living, evolving resource that both sides contribute to and use throughout a project.
I love that.
And it can even become a really valuable tool for onboarding new team members, making sure that everyone is starting from the same place.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
But what about those like deeper issues of the biases?
Right.
The stereotypes that we talked about.
The ingrained.
Yeah. How do you move beyond just understanding each other's words to actually like respecting and valuing each other's expertise?
So the paper suggests, you know, encouraging more cross-training and collaboration between the disciplines.
So, like, actually spending some time.
Yeah, spend some time on each other's planet.
On each other's planet?
Yeah.
Learn the local customs?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's about fostering empathy,
yeah,
appreciation for the other side's way of thinking.
Yeah.
You know, by working together more closely, mm-hmm, they can start to understand each other's challenges,
right,
appreciate the complexities of each other's work.
And hopefully see each other as...
Yeah.
As valuable collaborators rather than,
yeah,
you know, rivals or whatever.
Right. You want to build that respect,
yeah,
which is absolutely crucial for effective collaboration.
Absolutely.
When people feel respected and valued for their expertise,
yeah,
they're more likely to communicate openly,
yeah,
share ideas freely, and work together constructively to solve problems.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a big challenge. But the paper offers, you know, at least some good starting points.
Some good starting points, yeah.
For bridging that gap.
So we've got awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We've got active listening.
Mm-hmm.
We've got building a shared glossary.
Yeah.
And we've got promoting that cross-training.
Yeah, cross-training and collaboration.
And collaboration, yeah.
Yeah.
These are all great things.
And these aren't just limited to the engineering world, right?
Right.
I mean, these can be applied to any situation.
Yeah.
Where people from different backgrounds, different disciplines,
yeah,
need to work together.
It's all about communication.
It is. It is.
Really. At the end of the day.
Yeah. And the key takeaway here,
yeah,
is that effective communication isn't just about speaking the same language.
Yeah.
It's about understanding each other's perspectives,
yeah,
valuing each other's expertise,
yeah,
and building that shared sense of purpose.
You know, it's funny because we talk about all these technical skills.
Right.
But really, it comes down to the human element.
It really does.
You know.
The human connection, the empathy.
Empathy, yeah.
The mutual respect.
The mutual respect.
Yeah.
And who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe if we can get systems and software engineers,
mm-hmm,
to understand each other.
Maybe we can solve.
We can solve any problem.
Any problem the world throws at us.
Maybe. Maybe world peace is just around the corner.
I like the way you think.
Well, that's a challenge for all of us.
It is. It is.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, this was fun.
On this deep dive into the world of...
The fascinating world.
The fascinating world of systems and software engineers.
Yeah.
We'll be back next time with
another deep dive.
Another deep dive, another topic.
Absolutely.
But until then, keep exploring.
Keep learning.
Keep learning and keep those...
Aha moments.
Aha moments coming.
Coming.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.